The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome along. We're back because what you need is another podcast debating England's bizarre retreat against Argentina. When I say the word debate, it's literally everybody in the world on one side and Thomas Tuchel on the other. Even the radio DJs and your girlfriend's nan who talk about football for 1 week every 2 years, they could all see it, the Teutonic tactical masterclass. At least it'll all be over soon and we can go back to worrying about who's going to get the goals for Celta Vigo this season. So it all leaves us with Spain versus Argentina in the final. European champions against South American champions. If Messi wins another World Cup, Cristiano's going to have to play on until he's at least 49. Speaking of Argentina's success, how do you think VAR has worked out in this tournament? All controversy removed from the World Cup, as you would expect. I previously thought that I was fluent in English, but it turns out I don't know what the words mistaken identity mean. Paredes and Mbolo. He's wearing a blue and white Argentina shirt. He's wearing a red Switzerland shirt. Also clear and obvious. We'll touch on France's failure. Mbappe again in the goals, but not in the trophies. Bellingham too. He was great, but he didn't win anything. Oh, well, what do they have? Terry's back from the US with his thoughts on the tournament. Not even staying for the third place playoff, Terry.
How bad is that game, by the way? Dumped it in Miami. It's going to be... Yeah, we'll try and cheer everyone up. So give them a trip to Miami. It's been going on forever. And it's not going to change. It's a way of squeezing another game of football in.
Honestly, it's the least loved game of football in existence. They should probably do a Cristiano All-Star game instead and just let him score goals. Let him score 10 goals to the adoring public.
Yeah, I think there has to be an alternative. There has to be. I mean, imagine you and particularly now, as the World Cup is now 6 months long, it's gonna, you know, when you do go out of the tournament, you want to be, you've got another season to look forward to.
Yeah.
You want that break. You don't want to be hanging around for another 2 or 3 days. We know both teams will be players that haven't played in the tournament. They're probably disillusioned because they haven't had opportunities. And now they get given one in a game that no one wants to play in.
Yeah.
It's insane that I'll watch it.
Yeah, I'll watch it as well. Yes, true, true. See how Ollie Watkins gets. All those players who Thomas Tuchel, all those fast players who Thomas Tuchel didn't put on, we'll see, imagine how they could have done. But it's a totally different game against France. Let's do England-Argentina, then we'll get on to France's failings and the success of Spain and Argentina as well. Right, so I said it's literally everybody against Tuchel. I thought his interview afterwards where... So his criticisms of England in that spell, the late in the game, they didn't get on the ball, they didn't play. Legitimate criticisms if you're not the manager. If you are the manager, then that is your responsibility to make sure that they don't play like that. And obviously his substitutions contributed to that. Now, his substitutions weren't everything. The initial reaction, everyone was saying, oh, it's all about the substitutions. It wasn't that. England had already retreated. Jordan Pickford started playing those weird arrowed long balls that England just weren't getting hold of. into the sort of the left channel, and basically totally retreated and let Argentina play, which is the very worst thing you can do.
It invites Argentina to take off defensive players, put on more attacking players,
Gives Messi the
which
room he needs.
exactly. And it we all knew, I knew it was coming
Every or I was in the
because
pub.
he'd done
Everybody
it.
knew. Everybody was saying it.
I get why he did it against Mexico when we were down to 10 men, and then Dan Byrne become a cult figure, a cult hero, and then it's his go-to. You can't treat every game the same. Right, we've got a goal, we're leading. And I've got to be honest, even when we scored, it was against the run of play. It was early in the second half, but it was a single attack. It was a counter attack, and that was it. So it was obvious then that the counter attack was going to be a possibility of getting the second goal. And for 10, 15 minutes, Argentina didn't make much progress. So I didn't feel the need for us to go to now when Scaloni starts making changes and takes off fullbacks and puts on midfielders and more attacking players. The one change I thought Scaloni should have made and should have made earlier was Lautaro Martinez coming on. He left that until 10 minutes to go. And then, of course, he gets the winning goal in a game where you've got extra defenders to stop the crosses, to defend the cross coming into the 6-yard box. And somehow Martinez was totally unmarked. Evades all the three centre backs. And the cross gets put in by Messi, and you could see it coming a mile off. I just knew he was going to do it. Once we went 1-0 up, with a goal against the run of play, then from the next 10, 15 minutes, it kind of felt we were retreating. Harry Kane was playing like a holding midfielder. We had nobody up the pitch, and I
And
just
had no
let us get away with this.
Kane's an interesting one, isn't it? Because he'd been so good in the tournament. But the question is, having England had tough games, which is, that's on them for not winning their games. Fair enough. So then you're left with the question then, are you going to be brave about replacing Kane and Bellingham? Kane in particular, because he's older, and he just wasn't getting back up the pitch, was he? He wasn't giving any attacking threat. Whereas you had Rashford sitting on the bench. He had a load of fast players.
Ollie
He
Watkins,
picked a load
Tony.
of fast players. And they were all sitting on the bench because once he'd taken off Gordon.
I mean, there has to be an out ball, and Harry Kane is. To his character is that he wants to get back and help. He was involved in the build up for the goal. He dropped deep. He had time on the ball, and he can find the pass. We know his attributes, but there was a claim. It was a case for taking off Harry Kane and putting someone faster. That could be an out ball. That if they're taking off fullbacks and putting on wingers and putting more midfielders on, more attacking players, there's going to be space there against Romero and Lisandro Martinez, but we never got up the pitch, so it was never a problem to them. So they could flood the attacking half of the pitch, and I mean they did score a great first goal. Enzo Fernandez was had a couple of opportunities, attempts at goal from distance, literally one just the moment before, wasn't it?
But that's a warning sign of a team that's getting deeper and deeper and deeper, isn't it? That you're almost inviting him to shoot.
Yeah,
And it was
exactly.
Bellingham who made the burst out, but he came from a long way away, didn't he? Didn't get there in time.
He came from the edge of the box, and that was again a reflection of how deep
Well, came from
England
the edge of
were.
the 6 yard box where he starts his run to close it down, and Enzo's got time to line up his shot.
Mean, Argentina, they are good. I mean, I know it's easy to say that when they won two Copa Americas and a World Cup, and I think I get the way they play. I was watching it in the States and watching it on X on social media. And the balance was probably a little bit. I was looking at some of the fouls that Argentina were being accused of making, and I'm looking at the replays of the fouls and thinking, they've gone to ground quite easily there. It's another foul, but he's holding his head and it weren't. I thought it was kind of even in terms of, that's what Argentina do. They get under your skin. They're an emotional group of players, an emotional nation, an emotional football team. But I thought England, they kind of matched them for the hit-housery. It wasn't
Nothing happened in
one-way traffic.
the first quarter of the game, as we now call it. Nothing positive happened. They basically just kicked each other and grabbed each other for
Exactly.
20 odd
And
minutes.
it's interesting, going back to the nature of the referee and how is it going to be when we get back to La Liga? Are the Spanish referees going to adhere to what we've seen in the World Cup? I hope
Oh,
so.
I hope so.
I hope so, because the amount of times I've seen a player from La Liga go down thinking, oh, it's going to be a foul. And it wasn't.
Yeah.
And it wasn't given.
Yeah.
Whereas in La Liga, they are given.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm hoping that we do. And you know what? I think the Spanish teams and the Spanish team and other players that play in La Liga, they don't mind a challenge. They don't mind a tackle.
Mm.
But they know it's an easy way out. If you get, you've got the ball at your feet and you're being closed down from behind, you just drop to the floor, you get the free kick. You don't in the World Cup. So I think it'd be interesting to see how that pans out next season.
Well, we've said this
La Liga.
Before. You've made that observation before about the Champions League. It sometimes serves the Spanish teams badly when they go into the Champions
yeah.
League and are flopping on the floor
yeah.
and not getting free kicks for stuff. So I,
and
I
even
think...
Jude Bellingham, a couple of times he went down and he thought, that's going to be a foul because that's what I get
yeah.
for Real Madrid every week. And they weren't fouls.
Yeah.
And a quick realisation and a quick jump up, no complaints, no arguments, because he suddenly switched back to, yeah, it's not a foul. But I know I normally get them. But Argentina are good. It's not just Messi. They've got other good players. They've got a manager who gets the best out of them. Argentina are a team that never say die attitude. And they're more of a threat when they go behind, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, at 0-0,
they're weird.
Particularly great.
They're actually, if I was criticising them, I would say they're too negative. And we saw that against Egypt as well, didn't we? We've seen it in and they should have been more positive against Cap Verde. They're weirdly negative. It's almost like they love the nasty side, and they get sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, don't forget, you can play football as well. don't just be like
exactly.
that team.
Exactly, and it's. I mean, I was watching the game, and I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, they are similar to Spain in the fact that my criticism of Spain in this tournament has been when they play possession football too slow, and the difference between Spain playing quick possession football. And slow possession football is like night and day. They've got the ability to do it. Argentina have that as well.
Mm.
You know, if they play too slow when it's 0-0, and when it's not, when they're losing, they quicken things up in possession. The passing is quicker, crisper, sharper. The movement off the ball is far better. And suddenly they're playing those little triangles and they're getting players into areas of space to cause some damage. So I think there is a similarity between the two teams, to be honest, which... Mm. I'm hoping that if they both play like that, I think Spain will. I'm not sure. I think Argentina will sit back and try and get through to the 30-minute half-time break.
Yes.
Lots to look forward to.
I think, yeah, I'd love an early goal in this World Cup final, I must say,
yeah.
because I think, honestly, I'm not expecting much to happen in the first quarter.
Yeah.
The game now. Yeah.
And the second quarter, and then the 30. Do you know what? If you're a coach in this game, and there is, I don't know, it hasn't been confirmed how long half time is going to be.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I wonder whether both managers will be quite happy to start the second half 0-0.
Yeah.
You got 20 odd minutes before you have your first drinks break, another 20 minutes before the half time, and then a 30 minute half time. Are you sort of, you know, keeping your powder dry for a second, a third, and fourth quarter and extra time? Because it's going to be, I can't believe we're going to have a 30-minute. I do understand it's going to be longer than normal because there's about 20 artists performing on the pitch now, isn't there? It's a new one being announced. So that for them to say at the start of the World Cup it's only going to be 11 minutes, there's no chance that it's going to be 11 minutes.
Mm. Yeah, and it's totally, it's the World Cup final.
It doesn't need anything else.
Yeah.
Do it before the game.
Yeah.
Do it after the game. You've got the closing ceremony. You've got hours before the kickoff. Do it before the kickoff.
Yeah.
Just keep it a normal game of football. And that's going to be a problem. So I do wonder if the managers are looking at that now, whether they're breaking the game down in this competition into quarters, whether they break this game down now and think, well, we've got a 30-minute half-time break. So, you know, we probably won't win the game in the first half, but let's not lose it. And then in the second half, when there's not going to be a 30-minute break, there's only the quick drinks break and extra. It'd be interesting to see the mindset of the managers and how they approach a game when there's going to be an extended half-time break.
Yes. I've got a question on the England versus Spain thing. We'll come back to it. I think we just want to chat about Spain-France, that game. It was a great performance. By Spain, wasn't it? So you're coming into that and you're wondering. So Spain had thought, as we'd said previously, they were never looked seriously troubled, but we hadn't seen the best of them, or we'd seen it in little patches, hadn't we? And France was the team that everybody had been impressed by. He'd let the shackles off a little bit. We'd seen their great attacking players and the amazing pace that they've got in attacking areas. But Spain just, they looked like a far more accomplished team.
Yep. They looked on a completely different level, which is hard to get your head around going into the game. We all thought that, I mean, look at France, you look at their attacking players and you're thinking they're going to score goals. Mm. How can Spain stop them? I know Spain have got this really good defensive record, but they haven't played someone like France yet. And they barely had an attempt on target. No one's having an attempt at goal. Yeah. To the extent we're not even talking about Unai Simon being probably the third best goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And he's not making any saves.
But credit to him for operating as a sweeper in a couple of key moments there. Because it allowed them to keep that line quite high, didn't it?
Yeah, it's very similar to Barcelona, isn't it? The style of play now. Mm. It's not the Spain I expected. And I was critical of the selection with the defensive players, a lack of them. I mean, we haven't seen Eric Garcia at all.
Yeah.
Trying to think who else is there that hasn't played in the defensive position. We haven't seen too much of Marco Llorente because Porro has
Pedro
won that,
Porro.
That contest.
One of the stars of the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, it's... And then Laporte wasn't particularly brilliant for Athletic Club since rejoining the club, but he's been him and we overlook Kubasi. Everyone overlooks 19-year-old Kubasi. Everybody, we all talk about Yamal, who's now 19, but Kubasi just plays like a 32-year-old who's been around forever, with the ball, without the ball. He's defensive. The mentality.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The players, the intelligence of the Spain players was what won that game. They had a game plan and they applied that game plan perfect. And that was to defend high up the pitch. Bain, I thought, had a stinker in terms of possession on the ball, but he did some really good defensive work. Which leads me to believe, I made a post on X that you could have put Olmo wide left and you could have put Pedri back in as number 10. So I'm trying to squeeze the 11 best players or...
As opposed
to Bain, because I'm still not sure what Bain is, to be honest. He had that wonderful season at Villarreal. He hasn't really made the breakthrough at Atletico. And is he a winger? I don't see him as a winger. An attacking midfielder in a more central role, possibly. But he's found his role in the team. That's the one big question mark, whether he starts again. I don't think Nico Williams is clearly fit enough to start. And it probably will be, looking at what De La Fuente has done for the rest of the competition, the same starting 11.
Yeah.
Now, I never thought we'd see a starting 11 from Spain in a World Cup final without Pedri.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because if you said Spain were going to win this tournament, you'd say Lamine Yamal and Pedri would have had great tournaments.
Yeah, and I don't think Lamine Yamal has yet, but there's still time in a final.
Yeah, the World Cup final.
Pedri, Lamine Yamal gets a couple of goals. But I don't see that as a mistake by De La Fuente.
No, well, it's a lesson sometimes in not picking your best players, isn't it?
And playing them whatever.
Yeah.
And look at who's got to come in. It's Fabian Ruiz, who's won a couple of Champions League for PSG. And and Dani Olmo is playing really well in the number 10 position. Oyarzabal gets goals, but I still think that's the one area they're lacking. He goes missing for a long periods of the game. He works really hard. He hasn't got that pace to threaten him behind, but he gets on the end of one or two crosses that come into the box. Other players get into the penalty area with space that he's vacated. But there are times in games where I'm thinking Spain don't look like they're going to score a goal. So, but they do.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because we've debated this before, the lack of the centre forward. And again, going back to England, you think, oh, when Harry Kane goes, there's a massive gap there. And then you look at the final, neither of the two teams play with a centre forward. Alvarez starts games. It's not a centre forward, though.
I was watching him the other day and he's practically playing wide left.
Yeah, yeah. And no one plays centre forward.
No.
And then, right, OK, so you're in the many similarities between Spain and Argentina, one thing is that they don't play with centre-forward. So I still watch football and I'm still thinking a really good number nine would add so much to a team. But no,
some do. Kane does. Haaland does. Some do.
Well, there's an argument about Haaland because he doesn't add much to the team. He had 19 touches in a game, you know, which is not adding much. He's just lethal when he gets his opportunities.
Yeah.
So, in a sense, you could argue that, and I guess this is the case, many number nine don't give you enough throughout the course of the game, and hanging around the penalty area bagging a goal is not enough, unless you're Haaland and you do it often enough.
And Lewandowski.
Yeah.
And Kane.
Yeah.
There are exceptions, but there's not many of them.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
Unless you're going to be that good, then just give us a hard-working guy.
Mobile, dynamic,
closing
down from the front, dropping in, playing as a number 10, swapping positions. Olmo's average position and Oyarzabal's was swapped over. If you look at the average position, Olmo is the number 9.
Yeah.
Oyarzabal drops deeper. So they're kind of trying to supplement, I think, be a good race between Olmo and Oyarzabal. I think Olmo probably just shades it, but neither are lightning quick. But what they do is they create space for teammates. Olmo's flick round the corner for Pedro Porro. Where was Oyarzabal in that build-up? They don't need to have that. It can be Olmo. It can be Oyarzabal. It can be Yamal. It can be Baena. It's that fluency from Spain. But the key to Spain has been Rodri and Fabian Ruiz. That partnership that they were both playing in the first game, and then Fabian Ruiz was taken off and not in the second or third games. And then in Pedri, that decision was made. They're pivotal because they just give the back four so much protection with and without the ball. Rodri in particular, we never saw that form for Man City. We haven't seen that form for Man City since he's returned from the long-term injury. But in this, he looks like the Ballon d'Or winner again. He looked like an overage player in that game against France. You know, in terms of stature, in terms of being in possession of the ball, in terms of winning the ball. France didn't have that intelligence and that mentality to break down Spain. And we saw a frustration from France that then manifested itself into pointing the finger at each other and looking around at the bench, and one or two have moaned about the manager, and I kind of get that. I've been moaning for about 6 years about Deschamps. But there was, when you just throw those players together, it still needs more. It still needs a better balance. Rabiot having to go off at half time because he was booked and probably going to be a second yellow card was going to be looming pretty soon. I did always feel that the back four of France, Spain could get at. I did think that Spain would dominate midfield, but I thought France would overcome that just with the power and the pace and the skill and the threat of Dembele and Mbappe and Olise and Doué and Bicola. But it never happened.
Dembele had a funny tournament, didn't he? So Dembele.
Hot and cold, yes. Sort
of hot and cold in the most extreme.
Yeah.
So that hat-trick in 5 minutes that he scored, forget who now, earlier in the tournament anyway, and then an anonymous performance.
Yeah.
When they needed him.
Exactly. And they didn't have a plan. They didn't have a plan to how to stop Rodri on the ball. They didn't have a plan to stop Kubasi, in particular coming out the back with the ball. They didn't have a plan to pick up Cucurella. They left Cucurella. He was just free to run forward without anyone chasing back. The second goal sums up France, doesn't it? The ball into Dani Olmo, the flick round the corner, Pedro Porro, no one tracking him, everyone looking at someone else. And that's what that sort of sums up the performance of France. But I probably had France as favourites, and I was lulled into that. Well, they've got all these attacking players, that Spain haven't conceded many goals. They've only conceded one goal. They haven't conceded many shots. But France, this will be a whole new level.
Yeah.
And I believe that the winner of that game will win the tournament. And I believe that Spain winning that game will win the final against Argentina. Now, I think Argentina are a really good team, but I just think if Spain replicate that level, then Spain, I think, win it comfortably. I would have said they have to be playing England as well.
Yes, yeah, I probably agree. I mean,
and the England one, I know we're Spanish based, but all the games we played, you said they were hard games. We made them hard games, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, they were hard games. They ended up as hard games, which meant that no one ever got a rest, and that they've been pushed to the wire in every game. So therefore, you're knackered at the end of the tournament. But that's the price you pay for struggling your way through a tournament sometimes.
Yeah. And there is an argument I make, that we'll make, that every time we play a good team, now I'm not slagging off Norway because they beat Brazil.
Yeah.
But every time a tournament like this can be kind to you. We've had a few now. Where, look at, we had beat DR Congo, Mexico, DR, was it?
DR Congo, Mexico, Norway.
Norway.
Yeah.
To get to the semi-final of the World Cup.
Yeah.
That's kind. Now, in the future, it might be, oh, Jesus, we've got France in the last 16.
Yeah.
Or the last 64, if Infantino has his way, when the knockout stage comes along. I heard it was going to go up to, how many was it this time?
48 this time.
64 they're talking about.
128 when it's in Saudi Arabia. And, yeah.
So a draw can open up. It may look hard. You're looking at England's group and you're thinking, well, we might have to beat Brazil and then we've got Argentina. But, you know, but then suddenly Norway beat Brazil and we suddenly, hello, we've got, you know, we can beat Mexico and Norway. We're in the semi-final. And
I think in defence of England.
But I wasn't impressed with England in any of them. That's my point I was making.
That Mexico game, I think, will go down as a memorable one for, you know, battling through 10 men away to Mexico. Man for man, put Mexico in a neutral tournament in Belgium or somewhere, you wouldn't pick them out as a major threat.
No.
But in the Azteca.
Altitude.
Yeah.
10 men, home fans. Yeah, I'll give that one. But I wasn't impressed in the rest of the games. It was down to Harry Kane earlier in the tournament and then Jude Bellingham. That was it. A rude awakening, I think, for some of the England players. And the media in the UK that talk up players as being world-class. And one player who wasn't world-class was world-class in Bellingham. And has turned people's opinions round. Other players who are deemed to be world-class didn't really stand out, didn't have great tournaments.
That's one bit I don't think will change. I mean, we've got a very schizophrenic media. I don't think that's unusual. I think, you know, you and I look at enough Spanish media to know that there's not a consistency of... It's not some considered academic opinion you're getting, is it? It's just a wild mass of stuff being chucked out there. But I think overrating English players has been a factor for a long time. The whole golden generation was... Yeah, and then you think, they lost to Brazil. And you look at who was in that Brazil team and you think, oh, right, yeah, Ronaldinho and Ronaldo and Rivaldo.
Different level.
Yeah. And then a similar time, Zidane was a contemporary of these people.
He's
a better player than Steven Gerrard.
So,
this idea that England should win a World Cup, I don't think we've ever been in a position. One thing, let's do Kelvin's question, actually, because it's a good question. So, first paragraph, he sort of says the consensus, very much the consensus view. Right, and then he says, England don't have a football identity, which for me has been a problem. We don't keep the ball and don't create players who are brave enough, especially in midfield. Question. How do England do this? How do we work out in a football sense? How do we get the players? How do we get the coaches like that? We don't produce the coaches. Spain have been doing this for 20 years plus. It doesn't work all the time, but at least they have an idea that everyone in the country understands. I wish England could play like Spain, but we don't have the players or the coaches. Right. So I think some of that, Kelvin, I agree with. And some, that message, I think, was taken on board probably 2010 onwards with the ECPP, the Elite Player Performance Plan. So English academies, and this is all the way down into kids' football, there's definitely a thing about playing a style, the Russell Martin style, and that, you know, that extreme possession, even when it's not appropriate. And you and I have many times discussed it not being appropriate. But I think England as a footballing nation has tried to change, and in many ways has successfully changed. It's not as deep in the DNA, because they called the project the DNA, but that was just a marketing thing.
Yeah.
It's not in England's DNA.
No,
We've imposed it from above in the last 20 years, based on Pep Guardiola style, basically.
Yeah, I'd rather use Pep Guardiola rather than Russell Martin. I think everyone knows what we're talking about if we say the Pep Guardiola style, as opposed to Paco Gemes and the Russell Martin style that's influencing the world.
Yeah, okay, I withdraw my previous remark. Yeah. Yeah, so we've been playing the Pep style now for well over a decade.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, in the Premier League this season, we've seen a reversion to longer stuff. And it's worked for Arsenal, hasn't it? There is a view that it's gone a bit too far. But funnily enough, the players that Tuchel didn't pick are
Trent Alexander-Arnold,
Adam Wharton. He didn't pick Cole Palmer. Foden. Okay, Palmer looks knackered, but Foden he didn't pick. So
I think Palmer always looks knackered.
Yeah.
He's that type. No, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. Yeah. Chris Waddle used to be like that. Chris Waddle, you're playing against Chris Waddle and you think, he's knackered. Oh, there he goes. He's got five players and put it in the top corner and then looks knackered when he's running back to the halfway line after he scored a goal. Some players have that demeanour about them, don't they? You know, was... Some players just run around like a headless chicken for 90 minutes, like myself.
He chose not to pick the more ball-playing types, and he went for the faster.
Yes.
He went for a profile, didn't he?
He went for a current profile of the Premier League.
Yeah.
Strong, powerful. Yeah. And he talked about it before, the tournament. I remember him in the interview saying, we're going to dominate physically. It's going to be, I remember his comments were about, it's physically going to be a tough tournament because of the conditions.
Yeah.
We're going to be as physical as any team in it. And he did mention the set piece.
And they were all sitting on the bench.
when
we're getting battered by Argentina.
Yeah. As you make the really good point, sitting at home, watching it on television.
Yeah. So the more technical players are on the beach and the faster players are on the bench. And now some are both. You know, let's not go over the top. You know, but he had a series of counter-attacking options sitting on the bench that he chose not to use.
He didn't use Kobbie Mainoo, who he took.
Yeah, he was more ball-playing kind of type, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so he chose not to use him.
Yeah.
I don't think he played at all, did he?
No. And then went on telly and
said... the third and fourth place match.
Went on telly and said, didn't play with the ball very well, did we?
Exactly. That's what I struggled to deal with, to be honest, because his remarks going into the tournament, his choices during the tournament, and he blames the DNA of the English player.
Yeah.
And we've
spent 15 years trying to change.
Yeah, and also he put himself under pressure by not picking some high-profile players.
Yeah.
And, you know, you live and die by those decisions, and getting beat by Argentina in a semi-final isn't the reason. It's how we got beat.
Yeah.
That's the reason now people will look and debate, you should have took this player and you should have took that player. Why did you take that one? And I mean, he had a choice, didn't he, we took Chalobah.
With the injury. Yeah.
In, which was if you're in a tournament, you've got the opportunity to make a change. Where do you think it's needed? A centre-half that can play full-back, which says to me he just wanted another big player in the squad.
Yeah, because
that didn't make sense.
Which team is bombing crosses in again? Well, it turns out Argentina. bombing crosses into 5'9" Lautaro Martinez. Going back to Kelvin's point about coaches. Now, I do think the Spanish coaching DNA, Spanish people talk about football differently. And I think that is this style of play, the Pep style of play, does come more naturally because they do talk about football in those terms.
Yes.
Whereas we, I think, have learned to talk about football in those terms. And when you look around, we have a German coach, which you
Yep.
previously said that you'd rather the whole thing was you just coached, you got someone from your country
Yeah,
to
and I
coach
wish we
elsewhere.
had 10 coaches to pick from. But we haven't got one, I think. Anyhow, is there any contenders other than
Well,
anyhow?
sort of, yes, in that you look at the
Who?
guys coaching Spain and Argentina, you wouldn't have picked them.
No, I've seen Scaloni was did his coaching badge under De La Fuente. I was just seeing that in the paper today. There's a team picture of the coaches on the course with De La Fuente taking the course, and De La Fuente's and Scaloni's taking his badge in Spain
Not as
with De La
weird
Fuente.
as Messi bathing Lamine
No, that's weird, isn't
Yamal,
it? That's bonkers. A, the
but
picture, and
the
B,
fact that it
now
ever
what's
happened.
happened. It's millions of babies that could have been in that picture, and it's Lamine Yamal and Messi. That's weird.
But you look at the big name coaches. On reflection, I think we gave Ancelotti a bit of a free pass, I think, for how bad Brazil were. But
Kind
Nagelsmann,
of.
the big name club coaches, the guys with, Champions Leagues, haven't done it, have
No,
they? And
no.
a couple of blokes who just didn't fit
Yeah.
that big club profile are in the final.
Exactly. It's the concept of an international manager is different, isn't it? We've looked at it for a lot, quite a long time now as, oh, it suits a Ancelotti. He's done the club job. Now he's got that 10, 12 games a year. It suits him at his age to do that. But it depends on the players. I mean, it really does. I mean, it's Ancelotti hasn't been dealt a good hand. Spain, Brazil haven't got. They're not blessed with loads of.
The World Cup championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CT&Cs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Brazilian superstars. But it does. So then the coaching is even more important. You can't just pick a, squad and pick 11 and think, I'll go and get on with it. So it's the it is. I mean, each nation has a DNA, and I'm glad of that. Otherwise, every game would be exactly the same. But it isn't. So, it's. I mean, there are managers you could be really critical of. Some managers have come out of it really well. I still get frustrated, thankfully, at Solbakken of Norway playing solo right wing. What the hell is that? And then Haaland goes off, and you end up with Strand Larsen as the last sub. And you're thinking, you could have had all three of those on at one stage if you had any balls about you and went for it. You've ended up with only one at a time playing or Soloff playing right wing, which was ridiculous. But it's been interesting, as usual, managers, that this their the end of it ends their job, doesn't it? If they don't win it, if they don't get to a level, qualification that they think they should have done. Jorge Jesus is a declaring that Ronaldo is welcome to carry on playing for Portugal. You're thinking, oh, really?
Really, really.
But I think I'm really looking forward to the final. I can't believe, as I said, 60 years since the last time they played in the World Cup. I just find that astonishing. It was also like Messi had never played against England either. But this one is ridiculous. I mean, the 1966. We know that's 60 years because we've rammed down our throat, isn't it, every World Cup. But for them not to play each other, and I think it's going to be, the atmosphere is going to be incredible if the right people get the tickets. And Argentina supporters generally do. It'd be interesting to see if the Spanish can get, you know, their allocation and fill that. I hope it's not going to be too corporate. I hope the 30-minute half-time isn't true. But in theory, I'm really looking forward to a game between Spain and Argentina. I would have loved it to have been England, of course, but this, as a neutral, watching this, Spain-Argentina, a great representation from La Liga in terms of the amount of players that play in that league. So it's good for La Liga. It probably will bring interest, I hope, to it. But, you know, I think is a wonderful league that's on the up. It's champions of Europe, as you said, champions of South America. Spain, 37 games unbeaten. Argentina don't lose. I think Argentina haven't lost against the European team for years. I think Scaloni's never lost to a European team. So all the ingredients are there for a really good game, just as long as FIFA don't spoil it. Can I just go into my, I don't know if everyone's watching, but I'm drinking a can of fizzy beverage. I'm not sponsored. I'm not on one of those adverts you get in there every 5 minutes.
Do you feel we've seen enough of David Beckham in this?
No, that'd be my one complaint. The hydration breaks and it's just three adverts in, and then invariably you go, what is he advertising now?
I've lost track of what David thinks I should be doing. And then it's either him or Infantino at every game, isn't it?
Yeah.
I read a fascinating thing about Infantino. It's in the broadcast contract. They've got to show him and he's got to not be on his phone in the when they
yeah.
got to him.
How bizarre, bonkers is that?
I mean, we said lots of things against Sepp Blatter, understandably,
yeah.
over the years. I don't remember ever having... I am so handsome, I must be in every...
exactly.
Well, enhanced.
It's astonishing. Yeah. But in general, I've really enjoyed the World Cup.
Yeah.
Sorry, my catch just broke in.
We're nearly there, Terry.
Let me just shut that door quick.
I'll share with everybody while Terry's dealing with the cat. Alan says if he keeps his fitness,
I'm back.
Right. I'm having a discussion with Alan over his
3 weeks away from home. She can wait to see us. Yeah.
Alan says, if he keeps his fitness, has Barca got a ready-made number 10 in the shape of Olmo? He's been fantastic for Spain. I thought he and Rodri were the standouts against France.
Yeah, they never have a problem producing the number 10s. They haven't got a problem. Pedri can play it. Oyarzabal could play it if someone else was play centre-forward, which could be Ferran Torres, who's looked really sharp. Isco might have made the squad if he hadn't been injured all season. So the number 10 is kind of, over the years, has developed in Spain now to a player that actually does produce and get goals and makes goals. For many years, it was just a fancy Dan playing as the media punter, not scoring many goals, but doing a few drag backs and Cruyff turns. But now they do produce. That 4-2-3-1 does work for a lot of teams in Spain.
VAR, I want to just last thing, this mistaken identity thing, which is just a weird thing. It's like, right.
Yeah, the explanation was wrong, wasn't it?
It's
wrong decision.
Mind. Yeah, the fact that Mbolo dived.
Yeah,
I think they got there in the end, but mistaken. And then they did another one, didn't they, in another game where they said, it's Fabian Ruiz, wasn't it?
He gave a free kick on the edge of the box, but VAR intervened and.
So they're correcting, so they're correcting things.
Yeah,
right.
That we didn't think they could correct.
Yeah, and they're calling it. So mistaken identity seems to be just a catch-all for anything.
It's a loophole.
Yeah, and you think, okay, I don't mind that as long as you take VAR away from other situations. I don't mind if what the VAR is saying is, you know what, he died there, mate. You've booked Paradise.
No contact.
But to be fair, he's flung his leg out and it's... Or there was no contact in that, so don't give them the kick. I don't mind that, but that's not...
Mistaken identity.
To call it mistaken identity is weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're wearing
that
different
seems
colour shirts.
To be the loophole they've come up with, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, but that's not...
I was just really interested in the Spain one, though, where Fabian Ruiz clearly pulls his leg away.
Yeah.
Can't remember who it was that went down. Mm-hmm. So the right decision was given because it was initially given as a free kick on the edge of the box.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And a booking, I think. I'm not sure. Can't remember.
Yeah, I think they just turned the free kick over, I think.
And it was... So kind of... As long as it's done quick. The referee hasn't got to run over and look at the touchline and waste more time.
Both of them, I think, were the right decision in the end, actually. But also, that's not what they told us VAR was doing. So they do seem to be freestyling a bit with the VAR when it suits them. And that's the problem, isn't it? Because the brilliant Egypt goal that will be, you know, the non-goal against Argentina that gets taken back. And again, when you take it back, it probably was a foul.
Yeah.
But is that, did we bring VAR in for that?
I couldn't agree more. That speed up the play, didn't they? After the foul. Because it would have taken too long because Egypt had the ball for that long and that many passes and broke quickly.
Yeah, it was.
I agree with that.
Because that's the problem. If you're saying we can go back to the turnover of the ball, what you're potentially ruling out are all the great counter-attack goals.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't have looked at that again. If they'd taken 40, 50 seconds, they'd have said, oh, that's too long.
Yeah.
But because they, in fact, go up the pitch really skillfully, really quickly and score, you think, oh, that's just about long enough. We'll go back.
Yeah.
And give a free kick because a guy's just clipped a gun.
And then we get the conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
FIFA want Argentina in the final. They want Messi in the final. Yeah. I'm not buying into that. But, the VAR one, the Mbola one, was the right call.
Yeah.
I mean,
it
was a silly yellow card. He lunged in, made a really heavy, hefty foul, and then decides to dive.
Yeah.
A lot of sympathy was for him because of how the decision was reached.
Yeah.
But I think it was the right call.
Yeah.
But it was no mistaken identity. That like wasn't the...
Clear and obvious. A clear and obvious case of mistaken identity. Somehow. Anyway, a couple of old Englishmen moaning about stuff. In the Patreon special, we're going to get onto the subject of the Falkland Islands and do 5 minutes on that. So we're not really.
No, you've got me worried.
Right, OK. So enjoy the final, Terry. So enjoy the third place playoff first, of course.
Yep.
UK Ireland time, 10 p.m. kickoff for that one, isn't it? And then the finals.
I'm all over the place with my kickoff times.
You don't know what day it is, do you? So
I don't actually. No, I thought today was Saturday. One day, back the next day, and then.
So we will come back, and at some point we will discuss the World Cup final, and then we'll see you for that, everybody. So thank you for listening, Patreons. Thank you for your support, and we'll see you all soon. Bye bye.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.